Now, for the last several weeks, I have been speaking to you about angels. And you may be getting weary of it, but I tell you, I think it's absolutely necessary that we as believers, Bible believers, we don't have to thoroughly understand all about angels, but I think there are some things that we need to have a clarification on, because you may be looking for something that's entirely different than what the Bible teaches. Amen. And I think that we should take Brother Branham's advice that he said that anything that happens, we should be able to find it in this book. Yes. And he wasn't talking about the spoken word books. He's talking about his Bible.
Amen.
And so I am guilty of taking the Bible and starting at Genesis and reading every verse of Scripture three times. I've done this in the last 3 weeks, of every time angel or angels is mentioned in my Bible. And I'm beginning to see a pattern. Now, most of the angels that were told in the Old Testament, they were not seen by the people, but they were told by voices, "You go do this, and I will send my angel before thee."
Amen.
Or, "My angel will follow thee. My angel will prepare the way. And my angel will make the way." And as you read the Old Testament scriptures, it almost unfolds a story. Now, there was times when they were seen, like when they two angels appeared to Lot at Sodom and Gomorrah. But and I may give you a list of those after a while. But then, into the New Testament, it starts off with angels coming to people like the Virgin Mary and appearing to Joseph. And we go on, there's the appearance of an angel to Peter in prison. There's an angel appears to Paul on the road to Damascus. But that one was different than the other appearances, because this one said, "I am Jesus."
Yes, amen.
And I think that's very important that we understand that the angel that Brother Branham is talking about that appeared to him was not Jesus.
Right.
Does everybody understand that, or do I have to let him say the quote to you? Brother Branham, very distinctly last week when we read the quotes to you, Brother Branham said that when he saw Jesus out there in that sagebrush, he was a little man.
Right.
But Brother Branham said this man that he saw, the angel at Green's Mill, weighed about 200 pounds. And Brother Branham himself is the one who said, "This angel is not Jesus." And I want you to know that Brother Branham continually refers to the pillar of fire as the angel. Brother Branham refers to the presence of the Lord as the angel. Just like Brother Branham refers to the pillar of fire that led the children of Israel and the cloud as the angel of the Lord. When God told Abraham, "Leave here and go to that land. My angel shall go before thee." That was a presence that went and prepared the way. When Jacob was going to see Esau, there was going to be an angel was going to go before him. But then Jacob had a wrestling match with an angel. Now, it doesn't describe that angel to us, but I don't know how Jacob had an all-night wrestling match with an angel unless there was something he could feel or see or get his hands on.
Amen.
And it was violent enough that it left Jacob marred for life.
Yes, amen.
It smote him on the hip. And I've always pictured Jacob walking with a limp like this, and you'll find in the scriptures whenever he's talking to his sons later on, he says, "Look, come here and put your hand where this angel touched me." That was a mark left to Jacob. It was a physical mark. "Look, this is proof that there was an angel of God with me." And then he saw a vision of angels descending up and down a ladder. And if you read all of these, it begins to give you something that then when Brother Branham comes along and says, "That angel, not standing 2 foot from me right now." Well, then people would say, "Well, I saw that." Well, Brother Branham didn't say it was a man. But he said, that angel's appeared now. I see that pillar of fire over that person out there. There was an anointing. There was a presence. And this morning, the Lord willing, I'm going to let you hear Brother Branham say that and see how it affects you. Because if we truly believe in him, then we know that the angels of God are present with us now.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right.
And if we begin to believe that, we will have a different attitude.
Yes.
We'll have a different action when we're in the house of God. We'll have a different attitude toward believers and toward each other. Now, it goes on further that not only the Old Testament and the New Testament, but if you want to know whether Brother Branham believed in him or not, well, you just start looking up all the quotes he got, because there's 1,067 pages of them. I've read them twice. Brother Branham says the reason people don't have angels around them because they don't believe in them. Second, they don't live a life worthy of them being around. And third, we're not conscious of them. But that doesn't mean they're not there.
Amen.
There's times when you entertain angels and you're not aware of it. But we should be careful about that. Then we can make a list of all the time the angel appeared to Brother Branham. Each incident, starting with when a bird, when he's about 3 years old, one of the first things he remembers. And he thought the bird said, "You'll live near a place called New Albany." It spoke to him in a voice out of the tree, "Never smoke nor drink."
Amen.
And through his life, these things happened until 1946. Well, on the Ohio River, 1933, a pillar of fire appeared and gave him a commission. And John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming. You're sent with a message to forerun the second coming.
Yes.
Brother Branham said, thousands of people witnessed that. Not everybody saw the light. Not everybody heard the voice. But Brother Branham heard it. It finally, in 1946, and I'm going to have Brother Branham tell that story to you this morning, why he finally had to go find out what it was for himself.
Yes.
And then through the years, how it appeared to his life. There's 7 quotes where he identifies the angel being present in the service. And I want you to hear those this morning. And then it comes down to myself personally. I feel like I have had some experiences that I believe was an angel of God. My first one was when I lived in Beaumont, Texas, and that voice spoke to me and said, "Rid yourself of the things that requires your time and presence.
Amen.
If you want to take another step with me." I looked around to see who said it. Wasn't anybody paying any attention to me. I did not understand then what I understand now. But like after I moved out here, and Brother Branham gets up to dedicate the tabernacle down at the old Jewish synagogue, and he makes a statement like this. He said, "I'm so glad that Brother and Sister Green followed the leadership of the Holy Ghost and came here and started a church." And I'm sitting on the pew behind him, and I said, "Is that what I did?" Like Brother Branham telling me, the way I get a sermon, I thought I was lucky finding this scripture here, and this here. And Brother Branham said, "That's the Holy Ghost in your life."
Amen.
Yes. It comes down to Brother Branham when he preaches the seals. He talks about the strange, mysterious week he's had. He'll go into a room, he'll be tired, and he'll read this man and Larkin and Smith and these others. And he'll say, "When I hear they say the sixth seal is this, and here this one says it's this." And he said, they get it walking around and something will come in a room and just change him all around.
Yep. Right.
There was a presence come in there. And Brother Branham finally identifies it on the seventh seal and said, that was the angel of the Lord come in there.
Amen.
But he calls them angels. Like there was a different one each night for each church age or each seal. There was a presence.
Amen.
Myself, I've told you folks about the time when I felt like things happened to me. I guess the most dynamic one was when he had brought my car back from Flagstaff that night and gave me a lesson. But during the weeks of December 18 to 24 every year, I have a lot of memories. That's when I went to Amarillo and was with Brother Branham in the hospital. I recall every moment, every conversation, every word. I've repeated it enough that I don't even have to hardly think about it. It automatically comes. I've not changed the story. I've not added to it. I've not left anything out. It's still the same, just as precious to me. So this year, when that time comes around and I'm alone at night, I think about those things. And this year on December 24, 25, 26, I felt like I had a visitation. I was in the process of reading some things that I feel like that while I was reading those things, thoughts began to run through my mind in a way that I had never experienced them before. I'd never thought of putting the things together the way they were. Just like Brother Bram said, he'd read and those things would happen in the seals. And I want to just give you an outline this morning of some of those thoughts that I was having. There's been an awful lot said about things like the Mayan calendar and the Hopi Mountain and the Aztecs and all the other, but there's 14 different ones that they've all got something happening in 2012 on December the 21st because of the stars arranging in the heavens. But I had been sent a book about the Zodiac that was written by Brother Morris Ungren. And he had taken the quotes of Brother Branham's in there, and he'd taken, and Brother Morris has always been a well-read person. In fact, after Brother Branham's death, Brother Morris wanted the books back that he had loaned Brother Branham on the Nicene, the Anti-Nicene Fathers, and I was given the opportunity and designated as a person to go into Brother Branham's library and find those books and return them to Brother Morris Ungren. And while I was at it, I took those books and I took the time and I turned every page and I looked where Brother Branham had checked and had marked things, and I realized then that Brother Branham had read that, and when that spoke to him, that's something, and he said on the church ages of the seals. And he said he read all the books.
Amen.
And that's where he got it. And I had an opportunity to see where he'd gotten that information. Now, a lot of people said, well, Brother Branham didn't have to read anything. Brother Branham said he read them. And I can show you where almost everything about the church ages and the seals were written in books like the Serpent Seed 100 years ago, 150 years ago. Brother Bram read those books. But what was this gift and the presence of this angel, this anointing, this pillar of fire? What did it do? Brother Bram said, now, this is right, and this is right, and this is right. And he put it together, and then he brought it to you and I. That was the gift that God had given him, and that's what the anointing and the presence was. When Brother Branham walked into the room there in his den in Jeffersonville with the week of the seals, and he'd read this and this and this, and he said, get him walk around trying to put it together, and it didn't fit. But when that presence came in, that's what he brought us.
Yes, amen.
Now, this is somewhat what happened to me when I read, I preached to you folks on the Zodiac before, but this time, with that presence there, it became a little clearer to me. I had a little bit different view of it than I had ever experienced before. And I began to realize there's something happening. I had received a book from the National Geographic Society about the pictures and all they're taking with the Hubble telescope. And I read in the paper this morning where they've now photographed 12,700,000 years ago, back to almost the time they believe the Big Bang happened, to the edge of the universe. But you know what? They admit that it's like looking through a straw. They just see what's in that one little channel through the heavens like that. But all the rest of the universe is there. And they will admit that they can't interpret. They don't know what it is. But maybe I need to explain what they're saying. You see, light travels at 186,000 miles per second. And what happened back under 13 billion years ago, that light is just now arriving here. My question is if this wasn't here when that happened, how'd this get here before that got here? And they will admit that all of this is theory. But yet when they come down to it, they can't create anything. And there's only one creator. And that's God when he does it. But reading what they said and looking at it, it's interesting to me. But I begin to see that, you know, God in the beginning. Even how that word, in the beginning. Go back as far as you want to. Go back 13 billion years if you want to. He's still infinite. He's eternal.
Yes, amen.
He has no beginning. And he'll have no end. But the revelation is we're a part of him.
Amen.
We were there in the beginning.
Yes.
We're still part of him.
Hallelujah.
And we always will be a part of him.
Amen.
Then when you read history, and you see all the publications about the history they're coming up with, and the manuscripts, and the archaeology discoveries they're making. And all of these things, I found it to be very striking that the pyramids in Egypt, the pyramids in Mexico, the pyramids wherever they are in the world, they're all about the same time. And they've all got the same orientation to the elements, to the sun, the moon, the stars. Because there was only one intelligence that had all of this. You look at all the artifacts and the rock art. They found drawings in the caves in Italy and in Peru and in Bolivia on the stones. And all of them are similar. You go and go to places like Stonehenge in England. You go to Easter Island and see those things. All of them about the same time, according to carbon dating, and men are coming to the conclusion that all of this was at the same time. Then there's people now that's being able to translate ancient manuscripts, which I've explained about the Gates Foundation and what they're doing that before. But they're now available, and people can read them because we've never had access to communication technology and internet like we have today. And if a man over in England somewhere does something, you can read his work tomorrow because he did it today, where beforehand you'd have to go there, read his books, see that. But instantly all of this is being made and knowledge is exploding. Brother Branham could receive this by the Spirit coming, I do believe. I think I can give you quotes that shows that. But, you know, the Bible doesn't say much about Enoch. But they translate some manuscripts now that they believe were written by Enoch. You know, Brother Branham described to me how he just went out one day for a walk and took a walk and walked off of this earth.
Yeah.
Brother Branham talks about us traveling as a thought. You think about these things, folks. I'll often say this when I show people these little model cars I got over here. You know, Brother Branham in 1933, 32, whenever he had the vision, think how much money General Motors and Ford and them could have saved to let Brother Branham be the design engineer. He could have sat down in the 30s and drew the automobiles designs that they're making today.
Amen.
Why? Because he saw them. If they believed him and they had talked to him, he could have described to them in detail about that car that drove itself and the families turn around playing games and cards and so forth and the thing going down the road. And men could have worked on this technology 100 years, well, 40 or 50 years ago instead of just now coming up designing it.
Amen.
God knows the end as though it were the beginning. And these things were all in the infinite knowledge of Almighty God.
Yes.
Now, Brother Branham didn't sit down and think these things up. They came to him by inspiration. Even before he was a Christian. Even before he had accepted the Lord Jesus and been baptized. These things were happening to him, and he begged the Lord not to let it happen to him. Fortune tellers and mediums at places like country fairs and so forth like that recognized this in his life before preachers recognized it.
Right. Yes.
Just like in the book of Acts, there were people like that fortune teller girl that recognized Paul when the priest couldn't even recognize him. They recognized Jesus. The man, the demons with the legions in him. What do we have to do with you? They recognized what was right before the religious people did.
Amen.
Now, I think it's time that we believers who claim to be the sons of God, we begin to recognize spiritual things that God has given us.
Amen.
That we don't let these angels that's going to gather us, pass us by, and us not even recognize who they are and what they are and what they're here for. We just think, well, God was good enough to us. He gave us the plan. We accepted. And now we got to make it on our own. That's not what he said.
Amen.
He said he's with us, yea, in us, until the end of the world. He that's in us is greater than he that's in the world. And you and I have an opportunity today to rest in what God has given us to believe in. But with Enoch, you know, Elijah was translated. Moses, where is he? He was there. They couldn't find his body. He's back on the Mount of Transfiguration. He's going to come back to Jerusalem with Elijah. Elijah left in a pillar of fire. Jesus ascended on heaven. Is there a dimension here that we really haven't broke into yet? What's interesting in is this one manuscript of the book of Enoch. It explains these things, how it happened to him. How many believe that he was just actually translated and walked off of the earth? A lot of people think he was kidnapped or just hid away, or his family put him away. But folks, how many of you and I believe that someday we're going to leave this world changed? Then we're going to need to start believing it and expecting it. These are some of the things that, as I've read, in fact, I'll be honest with you. One day this week, there was so much of it came, I said, Lord, is it all right if I just stop reading? Because there's beginning to be so much of it that I can't, that maybe I don't understand enough to explain it to you, but I'm beginning to see it, and it makes me sound like such a mystic that I'm almost hesitant to say what I've thought about it. But I say this, I don't think it came on my own. And I'm not telling you got to believe it to make it, but I do think you have to believe what God's Word says. I do want the presence of God in our life.
Amen.
Then let's hear how Brother Branham explains this in his own life. There's many people today that can tell you all the mysteries, their interpretation, their application. But I want to ask you this question. If you would take Brother Branham's experience with the angel of God in 1946, out of his testimony, out of his life, and up until 1961 when he talked about it, and if he was in his meetings, that's the reason everybody came, was because they expected that angel to be there. And when Brother Branham would say, you know I'm waiting on somebody.
Yeah.
You know I'm waiting on somebody. I'm just a man just like you are, a sinner saved by grace. Then Brother Branham would say something like, he's here?
Yeah.
You can tell a difference.
Right.
Now Brother Branham did that 7 times that we could find on tape. And this morning I want to talk to you about them, and I want you to hear each one of those. And I want you to see what effect it has on you. So we've got about 10 or 12 quotes. But let's take them right now. It'll take us probably another 20 or 30 minutes to get to play them and all. So let's let the first one be on Sunday morning, 1952, July the 13th. The tape is Early Spiritual Experiences, and it's paragraph 34, or 24 it is. I think they've got it queued up for video and audio.
Well, it's strange that then I got, after my conversions and so forth and on down, later on down in life, after my conversion got started, then it kept getting worse and worse. And it got so bad on me, I'd pray and tell God, take the thing away. I don't want to see it no more than ever. God, I'm a Christian now. I belong to you. Please don't let that thing happen to me again. Don't show me nothing like that, Lord. Just let me go like I am now. Please let me just study the Word like I'm taught to do here and study the Word. But it would continue to come. And one day, I come home to taking off my coat was going around the side of the house. There's a man sitting out in front waiting for me, my piano player from the Tabernacle of Jeffersonville, her brother. He said, I'm going up to Madison this afternoon. Billy, would you like to go with me? I said, no. Can't go. I got a patrol. And I said, I can't go. I was patrolling on high lines then. And he said, I can't go. And I started around the house. And as I started around the house, it seemed like the whole top of them trees, right there, Brother Ryan, where you and I have knelt to pray, come down like that, and I almost fainted. I fell back on the steps, and I stopped there, and I thought, My wife ran out, she had some water. She said, "Are you fainting, honey?" I said, "No." It was just a moment. After all, he come running in, Mr. Gibbs, and he went on back again, went on back to his place. I said, "Go ahead, I'm all right." So she said, "What happened? Did you get sick?" I said, "No, honey, it's that same thing again." I said, "Look, I've got $17 laying in there. I'm going to have a showdown with God. I'm tired of this. I've got a place where I'm going up here, Green's Mill, where many of you know where my hiding place, where the FBI couldn't find me. Back in the cave, or I go there when things get bad, and I settle it with God in there. I went back up into a place there, to a little cabin where I used to stay, when I used to fish and hunt and trap back there. I said, Mitty, I don't know when I'll return home. I can't tell you, I may be home in a 2 hours, I may be home in 3 days, I may not be home for 2 weeks or 2 months. I don't know when I'm coming home, but I'm tired of this. I can't live a prisoner. I said, everybody tell me I'm a devil and so forth like that, but that and me trying to live a Christian life, and in my heart I love the Lord Jesus, expect to go home to heaven, and I don't want to be plagued like this."
He said that he prayed to ask God to take it away from him. He didn't understand it when these things were occurring and happening to him. He came in desperation. "God, I want to know the answer." Now, a couple of things of interest here. Those that try to make Brother Branham infallible, tell me how much money he told Sister Meade he going to give her. Because there's several different amounts mentioned on tape. So this is the reason I say we must let Brother Branham be a man. And whether it was $15 or $10 or $17 or a check, is not my salvation is not dependent upon it. But we need to keep our balance in the Scriptures. And we need to understand that Brother Branham is trying to show us something here, how desperate he became. And if he had to become desperate, why don't you and I have to be? We expect these spiritual things to happen to us, and let's just go through life just like it is and expect the preacher to bring us the anointing and so forth. When folks, it's an individual thing with God. Yeah. Now, none of us have the gift and calling Brother Branham had. Right. But we all have a calling.
Amen.
We all have a gift that God has given us. Amen. And that we must fulfill. Amen. According to His Word. Now, I'd like for you to hear one. For some reason, I can't see this ink up here. 1951, September the 23rd, the principle of divine healing is paragraph 31.
Now, in Hebrews 3 and 1, Jesus Christ is the high priest of our confession. He is what we confess Him to be.
I believe Him to be Lord.
Redemptive blessing that He died for. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father tonight to make good anything that you accept in Him. My, I hope you get it. Look, my dear friends, this is not some fanaticism, not some little worked up something in a corner. About 7 or 8 years ago, people said the program can't go over. It'll never be. But when the angel of the Lord appeared to me out there on Green's Mill Bank, out there in that little cabin that night, he told me to go and I'd be praying for statesmen and great men and kings and monarchs. They would sweep around the world. And now, there's a revival sweeping the world. Originating in Jeffersonville, Indiana. Amen. Oh, how wonderful.
Now then, from 1960, February the 10th, the revelation that was given to me, paragraph 19.
The next day,
el otro día,
I was waiting.
Yo estaba esperando.
And I was sitting in his car.
Y yo estaba en su carro.
And I was looked across the hood of the car.
Y mientras yo miraba por el bonete del automóvil,
I saw a vision coming in.
Vi una visión que venía.
I waited to see what he would say.
Y yo esperaba que me dijera algo.
After I had the vision,
después que vino la visión y se reveló,
I got out of the car,
me salí del automóvil,
went to the house,
fui a la casa,
and I said to the minister,
y le dije al ministro,
sir,
señor,
I have thus saith the Lord.
Esto ha dicho el Señor.
Bring in your father.
Trae a su padre.
And we went to the bed.
Y fuimos a la cama.
I said to the lady,
le dije a la señora,
the minister's wife,
a la esposa del ministro,
2 days ago,
hace 2 días,
you were down in the city.
Estaba usted en la ciudad.
You bought a little white vessel.
Tenía una vasija blanca.
Yeah.
Sí.
Or vessel, you know, like
sí.
A little bucket.
Envase, yeah. Un envase. Blanco.
It has never had water in it.
No tenía, que nunca tenía agua.
It's located.
Está ahora
in your pantry.
En el pantry.
Beneath the sink.
Debajo del sink, del lavado, ¿no?
She said that is true.
Me dijo verdad.
Go get it.
Vaya, búsquelo.
Put water in it.
Ponga agua.
Get a white cloth.
Búsquese un paño blanco.
And bring it here.
Tráigalo aquí.
And ask nothing.
Y no pregunte por nada.
Just do as I say.
Hágalo como he dicho.
And I told the minister,
le dije a los ministros,
to stand with me,
que se quedaran conmigo allí,
at the foot of the bed,
a los pies de la cama.
The minister on the right,
los ministros a la derecha,
his father on the left,
el padre a la izquierda,
the mother standing by the side of the child,
la madre al lado de la niña.
The little fellow couldn't even make hardly noise anymore, it was so far gone.
Ya estaba casi para morir.
I said, take the little rag,
coge el paño,
squeeze the water from it.
Prime el agua.
And when I start with the model prayer,
y cuando yo principio a orar,
our Father who art in heaven,
Padre que diga, Padre que está, Padre nuestro que estás en los cielos.
Wipe the rag across his face.
Le estruje, o sea, pásale el paño por su rostro.
Don't let your hand leave its face.
No deje que la mano se aparte del paño.
When I get to the middle of prayer,
del rostro, cuando yo vaya por la mitad de la oración,
this, give us this day our daily bread.
Y yo diga, danos hoy nuestro pan cotidiano.
Let the handkerchief be about the middle of the child.
Deje que vaya baje el paño hasta por la mitad de su cuerpecito.
And when I say amen,
cuando yo diga amén,
let the hand go across the feet.
Deje que baje hasta los pies, su mano.
And we started.
Y principiamos.
That's exactly what I had seen in the vision.
Así yo lo había visto en la visión.
And she started with the rag.
En el carro y comenzó ella con el paño.
Coming down.
Húmedo, bajando.
And when I said amen.
Y cuando dije amen.
Then, when she took her hand off.
Que ella quitó la mano del cuerpo.
I said, great God of heaven.
Dije, Padre Dios nuestro.
Who met me out there in the cabin.
Que me encontraste en aquella cabaña.
Sent his angel.
Mandó a tu ángel.
To declare this.
Para declarar esto.
I speak for that child's life.
Yo hablo ahora a esta niña.
Let the child live.
Que la niña viva.
And the little girl jumped up on the floor.
Y la niñita se levantó y cayó al piso.
I took her by the hand.
La cogí por la mano.
With the doctor standing in the next room.
Con los doctores que estaban también.
We walked out of the house.
Caminamos fuera de la casa.
Down to the soda fountain.
A la fuente de soda.
And had a malted milk.
Y ella se tomó un malted milk allí, una leche batida.
Three nights later.
Tres noches más tarde,
the Kiel Auditorium,
alquilaron, o sea, un auditorium
that seats 19,000,
que sienta 1,900 personas,
was packed out.
Se llenó 19,000 personas.
It went from there around the world.
That was a translation, I think, from the message preached in Puerto Rico, interpreted in Spanish. But Brother Branham was talking about his first meeting he had in St. Louis at Brother Doherty's church, when that miracle of that little girl happened, that started Brother Branham's ministry in 1946. Now I'd like to hear for you to hear a segment from the tape preached in 1961, March the 18th, entitled Abraham's Covenant Confirmed, from Middletown, Ohio, beginning with paragraph 82.
The woman's a believer. She's nervous. Been that way a long time, especially since menopause. Got stigmatism in her eyes. She has dizzy spells. That's easy, see. But the thing of it is watch now and see. Now, I cannot make it go. Or I cannot make it stay away. Now, I just want to hold my hand so you can see what I spoke of a while ago is true. Can you hear me? I'm going to hold my hand here and just let the woman pray and see if it leaves. Just pray, say, Lord, help me. Now she prays. See, now let her look herself. I haven't looked at my hand. Still there. Now I'll pray. Father God, hear my prayer, I pray, for this woman, that you'll help her according to her faith. Amen. Didn't move, did it? Still there. Now, I'm not going to move. Just watch my hand. Now, I'll just show you what he said. It will make sure it's in. Now, what did he tell me? He promised me this. I can't make it stay away from her, but she sees it leave. I want you to watch my hand. You watch my hand. Almighty God, not to make a show here, but this will probably be my last time in this city. I pray thee, Lord, to make yourself known that I've told the truth to this people. They're watching my hand. The woman is too. But your words are so true. Sometime when a little weary of frustration hinders, but your promise still remains true. In my name they shall cast out devils. Now you promised that. You confirmed it to me by an angel that night at Green's Mill, standing in that cabin. Satan, you can't hold her any longer. Come out of her in the name of Jesus Christ. Now let the lady be the judge. It's gone. Is it gone, lady? I've never moved my hand. Now look. Gone. Put your other hand on it. Not there, is it? You're healed. See what I mean? You believe? Now, how many believers is here? Raise up your hand.
That angel of the Lord told Brother Branham he'd be given three pulls. The first one would be this sign in his hand. He just demonstrated that with the woman. I was around it enough that I saw that on Brother Branham's hand. Brother Branham said when he first started, he guessed at it because he didn't know what the symbols on his hand, the vibrations meant. But if he once saw one that showed female trouble or back trouble or tuberculosis, he remembered that. And once he saw those, then he did it. I had been around long enough. I could recognize them on his hand if I saw it, what they looked like. It was like a rash that would come up on his wrist and this part of his hand. Remember, it was his left hand, their right hand. Now that was the sign in his hand. The next one was the secrets of their heart. And then they will have to believe you. This was what the angel of the Lord gave Brother Branham. And Brother Branham believed that. How many times did you hear him say, based upon a commission administered to me by an angel of God, which I had nothing to do with it coming. Brother Branham didn't understand it in all the years until that angel came to him and said, I am a messenger sent from the presence of Almighty God to tell you. Now, Brother Branham never asked that angel to do anything. That angel only ministered to Brother Branham. The angel didn't heal anybody. But it was those signs were given to Brother Branham to help the people's faith to believe what Jesus Christ had already done for them. Now, that's important that we understand that today. It's not my prayer for you. It's your prayer for yourself. And you believe what God's promise has given to you. Brother Branham even told us at times when he would ask the Lord for a vision and God would rebuke him and say, why do you need a vision? You have my promise.
Amen.
Do you have the promises of God?
Yes. Amen.
May God reveal to you that he loves you and you're part of his kingdom. And if you have an angel and you ever experience that and you believe it, it's like following the leadership of the Holy Ghost in your life. The more you do it, the more often it'll happen.
Yes, sir.
Because you begin to believe it, then you begin to recognize it, and you begin to see it happen in your life.
Amen.
Now, I want to now give you those times when Brother Branham says he's waiting on the angel of the Lord. And I want you to hear the difference in the atmosphere. The first one, we can see it on the film. It's Deep Calls to the Deep in Washington, D.C., Thursday, 1954, in the Congress Hall. It's June the 24th, and it begins with paragraph 45 and goes for about 4 minutes.
Now,
You know I'm waiting for something. That is true. It's the angel of the Lord. That's true. I'm just as helpless as it could be, just like any of the rest of you. And I'm here perhaps with critics sitting here. How many ever seen his picture at a note of my meetings and seen where the scientific
picture
taken his picture of the great light? It comes in. You can watch it. Yes, many of you. It's sold. Thousands of copies of it's been sold and so forth. The Douglas Studios in Houston, Texas has it where George J. Lacy, the one of the best in the research in America, taking it and examining everything to see it wasn't a double exposure or something, and Jesus Christ had vindicated himself as being the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, of course, I wait for him. Whether he will help me tonight, I do not know. And if I have said anything boastfully or anything that I've said out of the way, may God forgive me. I wouldn't mean to do it. I only mean with humbleness of heart to represent Jesus Christ, who's listening to me now. And may his mercy be here tonight. Being that I've spoke these things, and that being his word, may he come and help us is my prayer. And now, as the organist here somewhere, if he will slowly, please, real low, the song Only Believe. And everybody, please be in a mood of prayer, if you will. You don't have to bow your head unless you're asked. Now in the prayer lines, you that's coming, what be if he rebukes you, you must if it's it'll be the truth. If it is, you must be willing to stand it. In the audience anywhere, if he says, you must know it's not me, it's him. And go make it right. The first thing you can do before you can find a cure, you've got to find the cause before you can find a cure. If you go to a doctor sick and upset and he gives you an aspirin, he's not a good doctor. He's trying to get rid of you. If he's a good doctor, he'll diagnose the case till he finds the trouble and then start working from there. That's the same thing we have to do here. If an evil spirit, if there's unconfessed sin or something or some out of the will of God, you can anoint them all night long and cry and scream and do all you wish to, that demon will stay right there. That's right. He has a right to. But that's what you have to watch. God has put a curse on somebody for something, then you come along and take it off. You get in trouble like Moses did. That's right. He's here. The Holy Spirit. Now in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I take every person in here under my control for God's glory. Now I want to talk to you a minute, sister. Your conscience is something's going on, of course. It just now happened. Now, if that is true, let the people see by your uplifted hand. That's right, see. That's his presence. That's right, see. Now, I'm a stranger to you, never seeing in my life. And now, if the Holy Spirit that I have spoke of Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, if I have truly witnessed that to the people and declare it to be the truth, and he is the same, then he will reveal to me something to you that would help you to believe him. If you're, I don't know what you have need of, whether it's, but he does. Now, if God will permit that, would you accept your healing and or whatever it is you want, finance or whatever it is you're here to seek him for, to ask him about, or domestic troubles, whatever it might be, whatever it is, he'll know, and he'll be able to let me know. Is that right?
Right.
And that would make him the same as he talked to the woman at the well.
Yes.
Now, I'm only talking to you like he did to contact your spirit, and I see you moving from me. I see a great crash of some sort. It's an accident.
Yes, yes.
And you, yes. It was a car wreck.
Yes.
And you were thrown in the air like that.
Yes.
And it's strained you in somewhere in your neck, and it's caused a cancer to come into your neck. And you're some sort of a teach in the scripture. And you believe that Jesus Christ makes you well?
I do.
Father God, in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, on the authority of God's word by a dying woman, I ask this evil thing to leave her. Satan, you are exposed. So come out of the woman as the Church of the Living God calls for you to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
Now, sister, just a moment. I just want to talk to you. Of course, you know it's gone now.
Oh, yes.
It'll stay that way. See how your throat left?
Oh, yes. Praise the Lord.
It's all gone from her. The garter has left her throat. And she, God bless you. Go on your road now and be thankful, happy, and rejoice. And be...
The next one is 1954, September. Have faith in God is paragraph 31.
Say you're stalling for something, Brother Branham. That's exactly right. Sure, I'm waiting on him. If he doesn't come, I can't minister. I can do nothing, not a thing. But when he's here, he can do all things. And he can do it through me if I can submit myself enough to him. The only thing it is yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit. Just yielding, knowing how to yield your life to him. Now, I know that he will grant it because he has promised he would do it. And if he promises anything, his word is good. That's why I've never feared at any time, because he's always took care of me, and he will now. He's here. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I take every person, every spirit under my control for his glory.
1955, June the 7th, True Vine and its False and the False Vine, paragraph 81.
Those who thought he was Beelzebub smacked him in the mouth and felt no virtue. But the woman who touched the hem of his garment run out, she got healed. It's just your approach to it. And that's right, the way you approach it. Now, may the Lord Jesus add his blessing. Say, Brother Bam, you're stalling for something. Exactly, I was. Sure, I was stalling till this anointing comes. But he's here now. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I take every spirit under my control for the glory of God. I be reverent that still, because these foul, evil spirits in the meeting tonight. And set still now, because remember, when they leave one, they can go right straight to another. So now be reverent and be quiet while I talk with the woman just a little while to see just what her trouble would be and what she's here for. Now, sister, not knowing you, I turn to you now as a single individual. After talking to the audience, I turn to you as a single individual just to talk to you like our master did to the woman at the well. A picture again, a man and a woman, be the same way.
In Macon, Georgia, 1955, June the 8th, a tape entitled Abraham, paragraph 77.
Now, Jesus is alive tonight, making himself manifested in the spirit of man. He did even before the cross. That seems to be a hard thing for people to understand somehow. Before the cross, Jesus was in Moses. Jesus was in David. Jesus was in Joseph. Look at his life. Tear it out. Just exactly portrayed the life of Christ 2,000 years ago before he was born. See? And he sure, after the cross, he died that he could come back and be among men. So he's among men tonight alive. How many believe it? God bless you. Of course, you know I'm talking, waiting for something. I'll tell you just what it is. It's this person right here. The angel of the law. Exactly. The pillar of fire. Of the Lord. I'm just as you, a man. That's all. Born to sinner, saved by grace, just like you. And many of you old timers here tonight was back down there preaching, you old Baptist and Methodist and Pentecostal and Nazarene, was back down there preaching when I was a little boy. I respect you, my brother. You've made the way. You'd out the stumps and things so when these things come along they could run clear. I respect you, and so does God. If there's any credit to be given it today, I want to stand and see you get it. God bless you. Now his presence is here. Now in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I take every spirit here under my control.
Now listen. Be quiet. Don't move around. Just sit still. Pray. Be with prayer. Look this way. You without prayer cards. And you with prayer cards, when you come here, if he goes to speak to you, don't say it. Just wait, let him get through talking, and you know what he's speaking, huh? See what he tells you. Sometimes when you break up, then you break the vision, you see, and that stops me. Because I hear you talking, and back here, and then here you are as a little girl, a little boy talking, and then it brings me out of vision. Just let him get through talking, and hear me ask it, and then the vision's over. I believe that every day.
The tape, Hear Ye Him, in Lima, Ohio, 1957, January the 25th, paragraph 70.
Be ready, keep praying. I can only say what I see. I would wish that my audience, I hope you do not judge me wrong as a servant of God and your brethren. Christ, the Holy Spirit, is here. He is present now. And is, what is it? I'm revealing myself. And you just use that. And God can use us when we get ourselves out of the way if we're gifted for certain things. Like a minister preaching. I'm not a preacher. I can't preach. I'm uneducated. But my gift is to yield to the Holy Spirit. Here it is. And in Christ's name, I take every spirit under here under my control for the glory of God. I only wish you could see what I'm looking at. There is the light going over a man. He's praying. A man is saying, Lord, let it be me. He's wearing a blue and red tie. He's sitting right here. You believe me to be his servant? If God will tell me what you're wanting from God, will you accept it? You will. You have a prayer card? You don't. You got kidney trouble that you want Christ to heal. If that's right, wave your hand back and forth like this. Receive it then in Jesus' name.
The message, Hear Ye Him, in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, on Wednesday, 1957, August the 7th, paragraph 62.
Now, in Jesus Christ's name, I take every spirit under the control of the Holy Spirit for the glory of God. The picture that you see in the light on it at the judgment bar, I'll stand as a witness for this night. It isn't 2 foot from where I'm standing right now.
Amen.
I be reverent. This is the worship. You heard the message. This is worship.
Yeah.
Please understand it. This is when you pour out the adoration of your heart to Christ in love.
Amen. Now this one is not a real clear recording, but I think it's about the best emphasis on this, He's Here Now. So listen carefully. It's 1961, May the 16th. Paragraph 82, Jesus Christ, the same in Grand Prairie, Alberta.
I do not know the boy. I've never seen him. I'll turn my back to him, as I've talked to you about that thing this afternoon. Sir, I do not know you. If we are strangers, one another, raise up your hand. And I've never seen you in my life, no more than you've walked up here. And I've got my back to you. But to let the people, the congregation, see, if he will do it, that he is keeping his promise as he come in flesh then and manifested himself to Abraham. He comes into his flesh that he has redeemed and manifested himself to Abraham's seed. You understand that? Now the God of heaven knows I know not the man. Now, I take every, here he is, he's here now. I take every spirit in you under my control in the name of Jesus Christ. That pillar of fire that you see in the picture, he isn't 2 foot from where I'm standing now.
Amen. You people believe those testimonies?
Amen.
Now you may wonder why Brother Green did it this way. You know, if I was teaching something from the Scriptures, you'd have no objections to me taking the Scriptures from Paul or Peter or James or John or the Gospels, and I'd read you all the different ones. Well, I thought I'd use the same procedure and let you hear the different times that Brother Branham said this and see if in your heart and mind the Holy Spirit won't reveal to you that Brother Branham waited for that, and when that came, he took that authority that God had given him. And that same faith needs to strike our hearts.
Yes.
When we read something in God's Word, that's a promise to us.
Amen.
And you may say, well, I'm not Brother Branham. That's the devil in has got you defeated. It says, believe and doubt not. If enemy can get you to have a negative thought, well, you can't do that. Who says you can't do that? All things are possible to them that believe. Where does it say this one can and that one can't? This one will and that one won't. I want to believe God. I want to believe God every time I have a need. I want to trust in Him. I want it to be His will, His purpose. And I don't want somebody to come along telling me it can't happen. When God says it can, it will. He's the same yesterday and forever. If I can but touch the hem of His garment, same thing will happen to me that happened to that woman. If I can call on God today and believe Him and believe that God has an angel looking after me, I can believe the same way as if Brother Branham was standing here saying it.
Amen.
Folks, if His word is not good for us today, then why did God send Him? Just to demonstrate to us what a wonderful man Brother Branham was, which He was. Did He send Jesus Christ just to show us what His Son was? Or to tell us, I came so that you can be like me? If somebody wants to accuse you of imitating Brother Branham, let them accuse you of imitating Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yes.
The things that I do shall ye do also.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I believe He's here this morning.
Yes, amen.
I believe He's here by whatever measure of faith you can believe He's here.
Yes.
I want to believe God. Could I have the musicians? I believe God.
Amen.
It shall be done. Even as He said, yes, I believe God. I believe God. It shall be done. Even as He said, trust and obey. Look up and say, I believe. Would everybody stand at once? Would everybody sing the first word? I believe God. I believe God. It shall be done. Even as He said, trust and obey. Look up and see. And again. And again, I believe God. How great is our God?
Amen.
How great is our God? How great is His word? He's the greatest one. He rolled back. How great is our God?
How great is His word? He's the greatest God that ever was heard. He rolled back the water on the mighty Red Sea.
I'm not doing this to fuss at anybody or to embarrass anybody, but folks, I think it's just time we got more serious with this.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what, if I were to walk into a room and say it was my birthday or some anniversary or something, you'd say, hello, Brother Green. How are you, Brother Green? Good to see you, Brother Green. I don't think you'd be very enthused about me being present. How can we say that we're in church, and Brother Branham says it's a time of worship, and stand there with our hands in our pocket or looking around, are concerned about something else, we everyone ought to be saying, I believe God. Amen. I believe God. Yeah. Every one of us ought to be in it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be absolutely honest with you. I want a congregation where in one mind, one accord, that we are enthused about this.
Yes,
and when we do it, we all do it one mind and one accord. And if you can't do that, I'd rather you not be here.
Amen.
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 Let's not be half-hearted.
Amen.
Let's not just be going through the motion of that. Why waste your time?
Amen.
Unless you're going to get serious with it.
Yes.
Didn't the angel of the Lord tell him, if you'll be sincere, nothing will stand before your prayer? Well, now, Lord, I believe your word. Now, I know you said that. But I believe Brother Branham was more sincere about that.
Amen.
And look, I'm telling you this for your own benefit.
Amen.
It's not just the children, not just the teenagers. It's the adults. It shows so little concern about it. Well, I went to church again. Brother Green talked about angels again. You didn't believe anything? Come on. I believe God. I believe God. It shall be done. Even as he said. Trust and obey. Yes, Lord, I believe you this morning. Lord, whatever my need is, I believe it. Yes, I believe God. I believe God, it shall be done, even as he said, trust and obey. Look up and say, I believe God. You know, a pep talk won't get it done with you. I'm just telling you how serious it is, folks.
Amen.
You got to know whether you're really enthused about it or not.
Amen.
And I can't fault you. Either I haven't done it right or I haven't said it correct or something, but folks, I believe the presence of God would be here with us this morning.
Yes.
And I don't want us to have to come and just waste our time and go through it just to have service and you come here and dress up and drive and spend your money and bring your tithes and your offerings or do the things you do and everything else on Sunday. But folks, let's get serious with this thing.
Amen.
Let's come here to meet God.
Yes.
And let him be present with us today.
Right.
There are people here that have needs. In fact, there's not a person here that don't need something today.
That's right.
Amen.
Well, where are you going to go if you don't get it here?
Amen.
If you know of another church or another assembly or place where that's happening, please tell us all. But I say God has given us an opportunity to come together, to be in one mind and one accord.
Amen.
And to seek him.
Yes.
And let him come and minister to our needs.
Amen.
And I want it to be a place to where the angels of God are welcome to come with us.
Amen.
Amen.
To minister to us when we have needs.
Amen.
To provide those things and that touch that's there. There's one that comes to mind now. Just another touch, Lord, from you.
Amen.
How many of you know that you need a touch, huh? Then let's ask him for it, huh? Oh, just another touch, Lord, from you. To help in hard trials. If you're struggling with your experience, ask God for it now. It brings a ray of light when I get a touch, Lord, from you. And again, oh, just another touch, Lord, from you. To help in hard trials, yes, Lord, we need you this morning. It brings a ray of light when I feel your faith building with it, so let's sing it again. Oh, just another touch, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. against the kingdom of God today. I need thee, oh, I need thee. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to sing it one more time. I need thee, oh, yes, Lord. You know what I have need of. Let's try one more. Reach out and touch the Lord. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes. Look at the harmony. All together. Yes, Lord, don't pass me by. Lord, when you come by this morning, let me touch you. And touch the Lord as He goes. And again, reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. To hear your heart's cry, He's passing. By this moment, Lord needs to supply. You know, I don't think anybody wants to disbelieve God. Amen. And there's not anybody can say you don't need Him. So the Satan will condemn you. And he'll tell you that God won't hear it or God can't do it. But Lord Jesus, right this minute, we confess that we are frail, impoverished human beings. God, sometimes our very life is a lie. We testify to people that we're Christian or we love you. And then we live a life that shows everything but that. God, forgive us. And if we all confess our sins, you are faithful to forgive us. And Lord, just believing that word is enough to make us all rejoice in our hearts. And then if we have confessed our sins, then there is nothing to hinder our prayers. And so we ask you, Lord, touch us this morning. Heal our bodies. Deliver us from affliction. Provide our needs, Lord. Not our wants, our needs. Take the controversy out of our life. Put your love in our hearts. You paid the price. We were not worthy, but you paid it all. And what you paid and what you suffered paid more than what any of us need for total redemption. Today we're redeemed. We're sons and daughters of Almighty God. And you love us. Lord, I'm just to the place today that I can believe that everyone here is your children. I'm not willing to see a one of them lost or out of the kingdom of God. But I say thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you for the plan of salvation you've given us. And for the promises, Lord. And thank you for the visitation of a prophet like Elijah in Malachi 4. Lord, that's enough to make us believe your word, because without a doubt, we know you kept that promise. Just as you said that when you came to redeem us, you promised us Elijah. And God, I'm a witness. You kept your word. You sent an angel with this man, just like you did with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Peter, Paul, James, and John. You kept your word. And God, you said you'd do that today. Why don't we believe you, Lord? Forgive us for any doubt we've had with it. And let us reach out today and touch you. Let us say, come, Lord Jesus. Flow through us. Fill us with the Holy Ghost. Open our eyes that we can see. When we hear the earthquakes and the birth pains, how much does that tell us? You're coming. You're here upon us. And let us surrender it all to you. Would you say amen?
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
You know what? Then you're forgiven.
Amen.
If you believe that, you're forgiven. He paid a debt.
Amen.
You're redeemed.
Amen.
You don't owe that debt anymore. You, nothing else. You just confess in your heart, Satan, you have nothing to do with me.
Amen.
I'm a child of God, cleansed by his blood.
Amen.
I'm redeemed. I'm purchased.
Amen.
Take your dirty hands off of me.
Amen.
You don't control my spirit anymore. God,
yes.
Help me control my thoughts to believe what God's word says about me.
Amen.
Not what I know I am, what the word says I am.
Amen.
I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Can we sing that?
Amen.
I've been redeemed by the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb. My sins are washed. And sing the chorus again. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed. One more time. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Angels can't even sing that.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Praise God. My sins are gone.
Yes,
they're underneath the blood. By his stripes we're healed.
Amen.
Do you know anything else he left undone for us? He paid a price. Let's sing. It keeps coming to mind. Let's sing it again. He paid a price. He paid a debt. He paid a debt. He did. Someone who washed my sins away. Yes. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Last Sunday night, we played a tape of Brother Branham's How the Angel Came to Me.
Yes, sir.
And we had some visiting ministers, and normally we would have had them preach and all, but I definitely felt led of God in my life last week to play that tape Sunday night.
Amen.
And for those of you that were here, I think you'll testify.
Amen.
That was timely.
Amen.
And I just regret that not all of you heard it. So I'm going to suggest that you somehow or another get an MP3 out of your own library or ours or something and hear that tape, How the Angel Came to Me. And we've got these little booklets that's been printed. And if you haven't ever read this, you need to read this and underline it. But I'd like for you to hear how Brother Branham says it. I think if what it'll do, it'll renew this to know that, hey, this that I'm following is not just some tangent. This is what God meant for me to know.
Amen.
This is what God did in this generation. I don't know of a spiritual awakening or moving or denominational attitude or spirit or organization started that I'd rather say that I follow than the one that God started with the ministry of Brother Branham.
Amen.
And the thing is that it has no membership. It has no ecclesiastical head.
Thank God.
It's just something that God did, and if you believe it, you'll want to obey it.
Amen.
And follow it.
Amen.
A lot of people have taken and said things about it, you know, that I can't agree with. But Brother Tommy Osborne at Brother Branham's memorial in January of 66, he preached one just a tribute to William Branham. And I recommend that to you. We've got these little booklets also. I regret that we don't have that recorded, or I'd play it. But I'd like for you to take it and read it, because I think Brother Osborne, from an outsider, does as fine a job as I know anybody stating what he believes God did by sending William Branham to us in this generation. So these two little booklets, I recommend them to you, and they're free to use, so God bless you as you take them. Service tonight at 5 o'clock, and again, I'll say, it takes courage sometimes to pastor a church, whether you realize it or not, because there's somebody else wanting to say something or do something. But I just again say that I appreciate God's goodness to us last
Amen.
Sunday.
Amen.
That he gave me courage to play that tape because I felt led to play that tape. And when I feel vindicated like that, every once in a while I just like to tell you about it because, I don't get to do that often. But I appreciate God this morning
Amen.
For what he's
Amen.
Done for us. Appreciate Amen. What he's doing in our own life. And as I said Wednesday night, I've never felt closer to the Lord. I know there's been word out, you know, like I said, that I got a call from Europe that the word in Romania was that Brother Green had gone to be with the Lord and all that. But listen, folks, if you do hear of it, I've died. Don't worry. I have no fear of death.
Amen.
I believe there's a better thing awaiting.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for something to do for you people or somebody else in the world or my wife or my children, I have no objections to leaving this old world now.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
In fact, I stand a better chance of making it if it depends on people, because they'll all come to my memorial service and talk about what a wonderful guy I was. But right now, they won't even fellowship me. But I appreciate God.
Amen.
And I love the brethren.
Yes.
And I believe in angels.
Amen.
I believe each and every one of you have one.
Amen.
Don't entertain him unawares. And I said him because he is a him. Even you sisters, it's a him. Brother Bear said there's no females.
Right.
Not any angels. Isn't it marvelous that God, when he created this universe, the 13 billion light years, they say, he was mindful of you?
Yes. Amen.
What a mighty God we serve.
Amen.
That's the reason I sing, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. 5 o'clock tonight, God bless you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Yes, Lord. You're dismissed. God bless you.